the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Good, that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Ego! Showtime!
It's about fucking time someone else is.
When you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a Lincoln bat. For the stream link, go direct to DLNGS.org. And ICChallengeAnalytics.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1014 of the Link's Link Tech Show. On the show today, we have Joel.
Good evening.
We have Joe.
Yep, that's me. I'm here.
This was a good one. Joel, you'll love it. We've been moving everything over to Cloud Run, like I said, which require and we're setting up a load balancer on Google Cloud. Load balancer in front of it, which was a surprisingly easy task. We didn't expect it to go as smoothly as it did. That being said, due to the permissions that are set in our infrastructure environment by the team that controls it, we weren't able to do the Terraform in our own repository. We had to do it in the project repository, which they control, and then they can apply because of, again, I don't know, permission. So we got it all set up, and there were some little hurdles, but we followed the documentation, and while it was somewhat confusing, and I think the biggest confusion was they called everything default, so it was a little bit odd the way it was presented, we still managed to muddle through it and get it done on the first, pretty much on the first try, putting this thing together. And we propagated it through all our environments. We got domains set up, certificates set up. We were pretty much almost all ready to go. What we were doing was converting the applications over to Cloud Run and deploying those, particularly in our lower environments where we our development and staging, switch over to using those as we were deploying them. So the way that it kind of works is it's blocked by rules and whitelists through Cloud Armor is what they call it. Not to be confused with App Armor, which I do believe was a SUSE project originally, was it not? App Armor? Did they not put that together? Anyway. So the Cloud Armor is a rule that was put together, a set of rules were put together by our platform engineering team that worked perfectly out of the box. Although I'm a little confused about how it's applied, because it seems that once you don't specify where it's going to go, and it seems like it's being applied to any kind of load balancer that we would set up. Not a big deal, because we only have one, and it sits in front of our the Cloud Run functions, and traffic is determined through paths on there, and it works pretty well. We're still playing around with it, tweaking it to see how it's going to handle region switching, not region switching, but region traffic tunnel or traffic routing. I'm sorry. So if you're like in the west, it should go to the west. If you're in the east, it should go to east. If you're in central, it should go central, in three different regions. So you should be served by the closest data center to you where we have the functions running, or the Cloud Run containers running. So it went pretty well. We were in the process today of deploying out the final couple of applications in our lower environments. And then then we were told that they made the change with the permissions, and we can move the Terraform so that it is now under our complete control into our repository. And it requires that we follow a couple of steps, and that was take the Terraform file over into our repository, copy it over there, set up the workspace in Scalar, and then we had to use Terraform import to import into that project workspace from where it was before. And what I found really, really kind of interesting was that I was surprised at kind of how easy it was to do that. It was a pain in the ass because you had to take all the configuration resources that were defined and run a Terraform import on them. Luckily, to give them credit, HashiCorp, I think, maintains this documentation. And so the person that we were working with on the platform engineering team was like, well, yeah, now you just do a Terraform import. Here's an example of one of the resources. And I was like, okay, that's cool. That seems, you know, easy enough. Where do we get this information from? Like, how do I know what the import, like what's required, the syntaxes for each of the individual resources imports? And come to find out that if you take the name of the resource and you put it into Google search, or we are preferred search provider, I'm using Google with work, and it gives you a link to the HashiCorp page with the documentation for that resource and all required fields, but all the way at the bottom is the import commands that you and what needs to be added in there to import it into your workspace. And aside from a couple of hiccups, which were completely on me, and that was not realizing I didn't pull the latest copies from the repo. I was a version off of what I should have had, which made me realize why it wasn't doing what it wasn't supposed to, what I expected it to do. But you know, that was my afternoon today, trying to scramble to get that finished. It worked out pretty well for the most part. Now, interestingly enough, we could do every one of the resources except the Cloud Armor resource, which has to remain back in the project where it was before. But anyway, that was fun. That was fun. Another little project that happened is that Paige, who has been using many different open source applications like Krita, on her OS or on her MacBook Air, which she had gotten at school way back in 2018, I think it was. Well, let me see. 22. Yeah, it might even been she graduated in 2016, I think. Holy crap. So this MacBook Air is about, 7 years old now? And so, yeah, about 7 years old. So she was saying to me that when she would log in, it would just hang in the login prompt. And Not she would put in her username and password, and then it would you see this little progress bar going across as it's setting everything up, and it would get about halfway across and just hang there, which is usually I guess an indication that either you got something that you plugged into your startup trying to start up that's not working well, or you are having disk problems, maybe some corruption or whatever. And there's a couple of ways that you can fix them. There's going into safe mode, single user mode. There's the recovery mode. There are so many different modes that you can go into on OS X, none of them which worked to solve that initial problem. So my thought was the only thing left to try is to restore the operating system, but it would be nice to get some of that content off of there before doing it. And I know she has some of it backed up somewhere, but some of the more recent things, I don't think she does. And she was kind of like wanting that. She was working on a comic strip or comic book. So I would like to have recovered that, only I don't know what it was. Anyway, so you're kind of limited on what you can do with when you got an OS X in that situation. There is the target disk mode if you have two Apple products, preferably a laptop or a desktop to do this with. You could probably do it with an iPhone and an iPad, although I think this is more for sharing the network, but you could tether, which involves connecting the two systems together, supposedly with a USB cable or a lightning bolt cable, Thunderbolt cable. And I believe it's Monterey, or I forget. It's I think in the past 5 or 6 years, whatever 5 or 6 years ago, whatever the OS X version was, that you can only tether two Macs together by lightning or Thunderbolt cables, which sucks because I don't have any Thunderbolt cables. So I couldn't tether it to the system with the USB cables. I tried. Now, hers is so old that it has just the, what is it, USB-A? Is that it? The fat one?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called? And the one I have for work only has like USB-C on it, but I have a hub that plugs in USB-C and has USB-A on it. But that didn't work. So yeah, bravo with Apple. Love it. But I did have an SD card, and she had an SD card slot on there. So booting into recovery mode allowed me to access the disk utility to mount her data partition where the home directory is, and to mount the SD card on there, and then fire up a terminal in recovery mode and begin the copy process off of there. Now, of course, my SD card was only 32 gigabytes, so I only got a small portion before it filled up that drive. I'm thinking that there's probably some corruption on that drive or something, because there was it was complaining about things for a little while, some things, but I got a lot of it copied over, 32 gigs so far. So I got to give her this card, and she's got to go through it, and then I got to copy the rest off of there. Because I am so like screwed for storage over here that the only other things I have are like little thumb drives with no more than like a gig of storage spaces. So that's that's not gonna copy. That's not gonna work. You know, one thing I didn't think about, which I probably could have done, is I have that external connector for SATA and IDE drives, and I could have just hooked up a regular hard drive or one of my hard drives that I have around here and transfer, you know, see if I could have gotten that mounted in there and transfer stuff on it. That probably would have worked. I did have to, that SD card I think originally had one of, it was for a Pi, I think.
Right.
I'm guessing, or maybe it was one of the old, I don't know. But it just had a boot partition and what it looked like, I think it was Raspbian on it. So I did have to reformat it so that it was a VFAT, because I think Apple is a little picky on some of those things. Anyway, that's where I'm at with her laptop. Gosh, man. It's just... To do that kind of recovery stuff is so much easier under Linux. I will say that. One of the things I would like,
or even Windows.
Yeah, one of the things I would like to have tried was setting up another user account on there to just to see if I could log in with that. And ideally, it would have been great to set up like another admin, like an admin level account that would then have access to her stuff if that worked. So then I could have just given it back to her and said, here, copy the stuff off of there and then we'll take it to the next step. But I could not find any way to create another user account on this system. There was recommendations of going in under recovery mode, and then if you delete a certain setup file on the hard drive, that when you go back in and start the machine up again, it should notice that that file is no longer there and go into like the first time setup mode, which would allow you to create a new admin account. But even though I did the steps that were indicated, it did not trigger, you know, a first time login to create a new account. Now, when you do that, it's still supposed to preserve the old account that's on there. It just thinks that you're booting into it for the first time and need to actually set up an account. I don't know why it won't let you set up another account any other way of doing that, but there we are. The joy of joys. Not a big fan of recovery on OS X, which is why I don't use that personally anymore. What's that?
Mac OS. That would be Mac OS, but yes. Yeah.
What would be Mac OS?
Well, if she's running Monterey, that's Mac OS. That's not OS X. But anyway,
what do you mean it's not OS X? They're all versions of OS X.
Well, that's what. Yeah, it's the old name, but now it's Mac OS. So we haven't drunk all the Apple Kool-Aid, and I completely understand.
Well, okay, yeah, Mac OS, yeah. Whatever you want to call it. That's but, did they ever come? I know that they've been talking for a long time about unifying their operating system across their three.
If you have Ventura, like on your work MacBook, I don't know if you have it yet or not. I do.
Is that the latest one?
That's the latest one, Ventura.
What was before? Was that Big Sur before Ventura?
Monterey.
Wait, when was?
It was Monterey was before that. That's what when my MacBook, I have the M1 Pro base one. It when it shipped to me, it had Monterey on it, but then I upgraded it when I try to remember if Ventura was out when I got it, but they shipped Monterey. It wasn't very long. I was actually kind of impressed with, because that's the first time I've had any corporate machine where they actually upgraded the OS. Because the first one I had when I was a contractor had Windows 8. All right. And I'm trying to – 8 or 8.1, I can't remember. But then after that, the very next one after that was Windows 10. And I had Windows 10 up until when I switched to the MacBook. All right. They were not we were sitting here 2 years after Windows 11 shipped, and my old machine still had Windows 10 on it. But this is the first time I've ever had an OS upgrade on a corporate-owned machine. Now, that we also use Jamf for Matt. That's basically managing what you can do with it and stuff like that, you know. I was on call Sunday, primary, so I was the one getting the first pages and all that. Okay, so I was packing up my MacBook to take with me to church just in case I got paged, because they also changed the shift from it was originally 8 to 8, like 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. for the on-call on the weekend. Then they changed it from 12 to 8, and now we went back to 8 to 8. Not exactly sure why, but it is what it is. So I'm packing the thing, and I decided, well, let me clean off the screen real quick, you know, because I have an annoying tendency to sneeze and crap when I'm working, you know. So I go to clean off the screen, and somehow I had
– You have a tendency to sneeze and crap?
Well, just sneeze, okay? Come on, dude. All right. So
you knew I wasn't going to let that slide.
I know. But I'm going to clean the screen off, and somehow I hit the key combos to put the thing in a recovery mode. All right. And the corporate has recovery mode locked down. Okay. So, like, I was Googling on my phone, how do I get it out of recovery mode? And all of them say, well, click the Apple menu. Well, I don't have an Apple menu. Okay. I don't have the password. So I did send messages and stuff to IT, and I called them, and they eventually email me the code, which I never really paid attention to, because I ended up rebooting it about 5 times, and finally it got back into the normal mode, and I'm like, I don't know what the hell I did. But that's really been the only problem I've had with it. Well, other than I'm trying to think, there's something else I saw on it. Mac OS is supposed to, since mine's plugged in, I would say probably the majority of the time, it's supposed to only charge it to 80%. But one little bug I kind of did notice is, if you can't tell it, oh, go ahead, charge, like, say you're just about ready to leave the house, and you want to make sure you have 100% battery before you leave the house, you can tell it, go ahead and charge it to 100%, all right? Since then, it's been sitting at 100%. So now technically that might be wearing the battery out. I don't really care. It's not my laptop. It's my work laptop. If that happens, they'll send somebody out to fix it, you know, or send a new one out or whatever. But
so did it tell you that it was only going to charge the battery like to 80%?
Actually, if you hover over it, it says – that it won't charge, like, it'll tell you, like, it won't charge 100% because it's plugged in all the time. It's based on your pattern of usage, is what it is.
So it's smarter than you, is what you're saying.
Well, maybe.
That's what it's trying to do.
I doubt it, but, well, it's just like, I have a similar thing, like, my phone, when I have the adaptive charging on, it will, like, after a certain time period in the day, if you plug it into a charger, it'll say, I'll make sure that it's 100% by the time your alarm goes off, is what it does. Which works for the phone. Which right now, still Pixel 6 Pro, and I have quite a bit of time to do the. What the heck? Am I allowed to? This network. Okay. That is weird.
What happened now?
I just logged in the IRC, and there was someone Was that for today? Yeah. Snipe Case, is this network is blowjobs? Get on Super Nets for cold hard chats.
Oh,
now.
Yeah, Super Chats. Yeah. Man, I'm not the only one complaining about that. Those assholes are just like hitting all the IRC places.
Even our own little server?
Yeah, somehow they found us and they just pop in there and spam that shit and then leave.
Oh, wait, that was last week. Actually,
IRC
that was
Super
actually
Chats.
A couple weeks ago, yeah.
They say...
Yeah. I actually have a 12-inch PowerBook, Murph. Unfortunately, there's not a single Linux distro that will run a modern browser on it anymore. So it's pretty much useless. It's my Mac OS X. I think it has Cheetah. It's one of the cat nicknamed Mac OS's on it right now. I think the only old PowerPC Mac that will run a modern version of Linux is probably the G5s, if I remember right. And I'm sad too because I have a heart for PowerPC because I came from Power, so IBM Power. But yeah. I actually might look for an old Intel-based MacBook to use as another. Well, I need another laptop. Like I need a hole in the head, though. I'm still waiting for them. See, now they got the M1 in the iPad, but then they still have iPad OS on it, which is basically an extension of iOS. So you can't really do much, but we were talking a little bit about unification. Ventura has literally the same settings menu as any iOS or iPad OS application. It's almost identical now. Sized up, of course, because it's on a full desktop machine. So, but the menu system literally echoes what's on my iPhone 13 and my iPad. So that's one other annoying thing I've noticed too is I just got the new work iPhone, right? Maybe a few weeks ago, right? They have this weird, I guess they call it work continuity thing, where if you have like an iOS device, all right, say you have an iPhone, all right, and a MacBook and an iPad. When somebody calls you on your phone number on your iPhone, it will ring on the MacBook and on the iPad. And if you have an Apple Watch, it'll ring on that too. And it scared the ever-living shit out of me earlier this week when all of a sudden my work laptop's ringing when I'm getting a call from the pager duty. And I'm like, oh, what the heck? So I ended up shutting that stuff off. I'm like, the phone's sitting right next to me. I don't need the MacBook to ring either at the same time. I guess some of the people that are fully in the ecosystem will literally answer. Like if your phone's downstairs and you're sitting at your MacBook and the phone rings, they'll literally answer it on their MacBook. And I'm like, I can't think of a world where I'd want to do that. And it's same thing too with the like if you have AirPods, I bought them purposely for using with the iPad because it's a pain. Like it's a pain switching my Bluetooth headphones around between those devices, and I don't like having to redo, repair things up with my phone and whatnot, so. I just figured let's just buy a pair that's dedicated to my iPad, all right? So I bought those, but it also will automatically connect to the iPhone or the MacBook. without me actually having to pair them on the MacBook or the iPhone. It just works, which is kind of strange. But it is kind of handy. Like if I'm on call and I'm watching something on my iPad and I get a page, it'll automatically switch the audio over to the phone, which is kind of nice. But still, I don't really like it all that much. So it's just, I wish, I understand why Apple does that, because they want to suck you into the walled garden, which that is what it is. But I just wish it was easier to shut some of it off. It's not, well, easier as in maybe make the default not doing that stuff and let me choose to do it, if you know what I mean. But they're not going to do that. So.
They know better than you, Joe. They know what you want.
No, they know what dumb people need. They need it to be done for them, and that's why they do it. But
yeah.
Yeah, I gotta think whether I want to take, because I'm going to Virginia for work, and I gotta think if I want to take my, like, I could take this laptop because it's pretty thin. The one I'm using is my old YogaBook 7i, which is about 5 years old now. It's still working great. Replace the battery in it. Yes, I do repair my own things, Joe.
You don't just buy new every time?
No, that's my son's solution.
First time you get a blue screen, got to buy a new laptop.
I will say this, though. Probably one of the most frustrating things, and my wife's Googled it, the Dasher app, the one that he uses, not the one you order your food on, right? Because it's a completely different app, all right? Sucks balls on both iOS and Android. It'll literally crash him out, log him out of the app, and he's lost deliveries that way. But he is making a fair bit of money off of it. They'll go at lunchtime during a weekday, which might be okay if he was doing the downtown region. But since he's doing Grove City, there's just not that many offices around here, if you know what I mean. There's some, you know. And then you got people like me that are working from home all the time. It's like Tuesday. Yesterday I went, worked out in the morning, and then on the way home I went and cast my vote for issue one, which failed miserably. And everybody in the country seems to be talking about it too. If you're at all aware about them. They were trying to, there was an issue on the ballot for a special election yesterday. Oh. And they were wanting to change the way we put things in Ohio's constitution.
Yes, I know, I'm aware of that. What was the problem?
Yeah,
with the,
I think everybody is aware.
Oh yeah, like I said, everybody's aware because they're all talking about it. So it didn't take any time to vote on it. You know, there's only one thing we had to vote on, but it's basically just the same as it was before that vote. So, nothing really changed.
Well, it was hilarious. Didn't this year you guys had a vote to no longer have special votes this time of year?
That was last year.
Oh, last year. And then this year it's like, well, we're going to have one anyway.
Yeah, well, the thing that just pisses me off about it is both sides were stupid about it. I mean, they both were.
Yeah, you know, well, I only hear about it from like one side, so please tell me the other side, because it sounds really dumb to you know, make it so that you need a supermajority in order to get anything done.
Well, that's the way the United States is, essentially, with the Constitution, but and California, ironically enough. But yeah, it's just like each side was just saying, you know, like the GOP side was saying, I'm not saying which side I voted for or against. That's not really anybody's business. But, you know, the Republicans are all saying, let's protect the Constitution, you know, and then the other side wants to make it all about abortion, which it kind of is, because we do have that coming up in November.
Right, and they wanted it so that a supermajority was required in order to make any kind of changes.
Well, it was actually more than that, too, because in order to even get on a ballot, you had to have signatures from all 88 counties. So, basically, if one county didn't provide enough signatures, it wouldn't be on the ballot at all for the state. So, which I see pluses and minuses to both views. You know,
what, abortion?
No, the Constitution issue.
Ah.
Because that's really what it was only about. But, you know, the no side was like saying, well, that's what it was about, which, yeah, maybe, but.
Okay, well, the thing about the Constitution is that it is malleable.
Right, but it should, in my opinion, is just like United States, it should be harder to change, you know. Granted, most of the constitutional amendment things that have come up lately have failed. No matter who was the proponent of it.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, I'll give Ohio one thing. At least we're logical in that regard.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I it's just the whole thing just pisses me off. And I don't want to talk about it anymore. Because both sides are stupid.
Oh, yeah.
But
so we got the stream going this week again.
Yeah, is it working?
It worked twice in a row? Crazy.
Yeah, it's working.
Wow.
We also have a mirror too. Although did I get the address for the mirror? I'm gonna see if let me go over there and pull up that email about the mirror. Oh, what a pain in my ass.
Should at the coffee festival they're doing axe throwing. Should I try that, Dan?
Hell yes. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's free?
No, it's not.
Well, even then, definitely, if you get a chance to throw an axe, do it.
I got an axe. I can literally get a piece of wood and put it up in my backyard and throw it.
Why don't you then?
See? Better things
See?
To do?
Go to the fair. Do it there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Here's the crap of it all is I'm going to go load up at between 11 and 2, load up on coffee and caffeine, right? And guess what happens the next day? My flight to Virginia. At 6 in the morning, because I'm stupid.
They should be awake for when you get to your flight.
Well, the problem is making sure I get to sleep too. It won't be too bad.
Just sleep at the airport like normal people.
Well, there's a thought. At least, now the upside is we got 3 U.S. members that are supposed to be there. Now, the one is not probably going to go. He's rather than going to attend remotely, okay? Because he's the one with the wife with cancer, okay? The other guy is going to drive his camper down to Virginia, and he's going to stay in that. So, guess who gets the rental car? I do. Not that I want to drive around DC Metro too much, but it'll be nice. And like Sunday, I'll have one of the managers is having everyone over to her house for like a pre-training week party, which is a good thing. She'll probably have alcohol. I probably won't drink any.
Wait, that wasn't a I won't drink any. That was a I probably won't drink any.
Well,
which means
no,
he's
going to
be falling down drunk.
No.
Which means maybe.
Dan, Ohio Linux Fest, when you control the fucking beer tickets, was the last time I drank anything. I'm not kidding.
No, I know. You say you haven't had any for a long time.
Yes.
So what you need is you need me to come back to Ohio Linux Fest so I can give you beer tickets.
Oh, no. Speaking of Ohio Linux Fest, that's coming up sooner than later.
That's October, right? This year? Or did you...
I thought it was... Hold on. It's either October or September.
Let's see. Yeah. September 8th. Holy mackerel. That's like less than a month away now.
Yeah.
September 8th to September 9th. Yeah, and that's 9th.
That? Hold on. When is Labor Day?
Well, if Friday is September 8th, then it would be September 3rd, 2nd? Wait, 5 days. September 3rd, right? It's the
I don't
first.
Know. I have to look it up. I got to put it on my work calendar.
Isn't it the first Monday in September?
I thought.
Labor Day 2023 is Monday, September 4th.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Damn, they could have made it the same weekend. Oh, well. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to depend on who's there, whether I want to drive downtown, because I hate downtown anymore. Because it's a pain in the ass to find a parking spot.
Take an Uber. There you go.
Well, that's an option, yeah. I never thought of that. Yeah, you're right. I could do that. Just because...
Probably cheaper than parking.
You're probably right. I'd have to look that up. And actually, that's a good point there. Since I'm leaving at O Dark 30 and I want to leave the car, I don't want to pay for parking my Traverse at the airport all week. I usually take a taxi, but I might just do Uber instead. The only thing is I hate putting my corporate card into apps that I have access to on my phone, my personal phone, because I don't want to accidentally put a charge on that card, if you know what I mean. So what I might do is I might just put it in the app long enough for that trip and then delete the card from the app after it's done. Because I did the same thing for they said we can buy a book for – we were doing a book reading. I forget which team it was I was on, and they said – go ahead, buy the book, use your corporate card to buy the book, and then go ahead and file an expense report. So since I wanted to buy it on the Kindle, the only place you can do that on is Amazon. So I put it in my Amazon account, bought the book, and then deleted the card. Because I don't ever want to have that corporate card somewhere where I can accidentally buy something on it. And... for office supplies, when I just don't order them. We could, but I just don't, you know. I'm an IT person. What am I supposed to, you know, am I going to order paper for my home office? No. One time I ordered a headset from Staples because the boss said I could. And I haven't done it since. I just bought my own. I hate traveling, though. Well, I actually don't hate traveling. I don't like traveling for work, necessarily. Especially since I don't do it often enough. So... all the things that I know might be different now. I know I do have the right kind of driver's license now. So you had to pay extra so that like you had to bring in like your birth certificate or something. So that they put the star on your driver's license. but I'll live. I'm no more nervous about doing my presentation.
For your meeting at work, what are you doing your presentation on?
Mostly, well, it's okay. We have most of the folks like in the domain teams do like focus on like, for example, ST or student, right? Or CF, which is colleague financials, all right? So they have some standard things they say, well, like when they run into stuff that you can't necessarily do in the cloud. Like, for example, disable the ALB. The engineering team won't do it. So how do you figure out if there's something wrong with one of the instances behind the application load balancer? And that's what I'm going to kind of show them on. Also talk to them about, well, what the hell is an ALB? You know, how does it work? And things like that. And then another one of our teammates are going to do a presentation on Datadog. Because a lot of the analysts on our team, they want to look at the raw text file. Very old school way of looking at logs. They're not familiar with using a log aggregator like Datadog. It aggregates some of our logs. And the nice thing with Datadog is you can actually search through it and do pattern recognition. You can even do regex if you wanted to. But the analysts, they always ask for us to send the logs, and we do right now. Hopefully we're getting out of that practice. So yeah, Murph said, just be careful with the axe catching. Murph's submitting a talk. What are you trying to get in to OLF, Murph? In fact, come in here. If you can.
Yeah,
I'll look at the schedule. It's hey, Murph. There he is.
Hey there. What's up, Murphy, baby?
So I'm going to try to do a talk on Mastodon and the Fediverse.
Ooh. At Ohio Linux Fest?
I need to toot more often.
Wait, was that at Ohio Linux Fest you're doing that, Murph?
If they accept it, yep.
Shouldn't they have told you by now whether they're accepting? It's like less than a month away, isn't it?
They only closed submissions, I think, late July. So it's still underway, I think.
Okay.
I bet you know, you'll find out soon.
I would hope.
Yeah.
Because a lot of stuff has happened since the last time I went through it, so I got some work to do.
Yeah, I think the Fediverse has got a whole lot bigger. See, what server am I on? I forget. Fostodon? Yeah, Fostodon.
Isn't everybody on Fostodon? That's where it is, right?
No, you got some people on No Agenda Social. That's Adam Curry's instance.
Yeah, I was on Fostodon. Now I'm on hackers.town.
That's the other one. That's the one where Jonathan is on. At the Jonathan from the Jack Attack.
Oh, Jonathan.
Yeah, I'm not seeing anything on there from him lately.
God, what was his last name? I can't remember now.
That's a good question. I follow Kelly on Instagram.
Are they still running the B&B?
No, it's a art
Oh, an art? Okay, that makes sense.
Museum for Kelly's art.
That's cool. Nice. Yeah.
Let's see. I'm trying to see if they even still have any references on the internet of it.
Yeah. Well, if you're gonna do it, you might as well fast it, right? Are you on X now, Joel?
Well, considering I was on Twitter, yeah.
You know what bums me out? Like, I don't have a Twitter account. Maybe I do. I don't know. I haven't used it in years. Well, one of the nice things was, like, if I would go look at traffic in my area, that it would sometimes, you know, usually get posted to Twitter because they had a VDOT Twitter account that would show it. Now you can't see that shit anymore. Unless you're logged in, I guess. And then the search results don't even show it.
Or the old Identica.
Identica. Nobody used Identica except Murph.
Or StatusNet.
StatusNet.
I still have an account on Identica.
There you go.
I'm going to say it still exists. I haven't logged into it forever. Well, I have MeWe too. And I hardly log in there either. I mean, I'm logged into it on the app. I do have a Threads account just because it was. I already had an Instagram account, so why not?
Damn.
Why can't I remember his name anymore? Damn.
Whose name?
Jonathan's last name.
Yeah. Oh. You know what? Maybe I. Let me see.
Is it still on our linuxlink.net page? On the podcast list?
No, it just says John and Kelly. Whatever happens to jackattack.com? The site's dead.
It's gone, isn't it?
Yeah, the site's dead. Anyway, I thought it started with an M or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I ain't listened to Bad Voltage in a while.
I have to take a break
from them every once in a while. Jono and Ack, I'm okay with, generally.
You don't like Jeremy?
No, I didn't say that. It's just that Jono and Ack are my favorite ever since Lug Radio days.
Olden times. What happened to Fab?
He's still around, Fab's on Twitter.
Well, I wouldn't know because I'm not on Twitter. Just Fab. And remember Matthew Bischoff way back in the day?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, Matthew
Barely
Bischoff.
Barely remember him.
And Trolls?
And Stank Dog.
Mm-hmm. Stank Dog. Stank Dog story does HPR.
Yeah. Let's see. He said, according to Fab's X account, it says he's a journalist, writer, and freelancer.
Good on him.
Yeah. And podcaster. Well, they haven't done a podcast in a long time now. Although he does, actually, he does a podcast. Says from 2006 through 2019, Fab did a podcast called The Private Citizen. Actually, hold on. That was Linux Outlaws. My bad. this private citizen still exists, I think. Let me see. I don't want to open that. I might have to look at it and listen to an episode or two and see if it's any good. I miss the old Linux Outlaws because Fab always cracked me up.
Oy, oy, oy.
Bunch of old farts reminiscing is what we're doing tonight.
So you got an iPhone, an Apple Watch.
I do not have an Apple Watch.
Oh, I thought you said you had. So you
I have a Pixel Watch.
Oh, Pixel Watch. Well, you know what? I think I need to get a new SIM card for my Pixel. It's starting to give me that thing where it says there's no SIM card in it.
Uh-oh.
You know, I love this Pixel, but I fucking hate the USB port on it because it's so, like, it's so loose.
Yeah. Maybe it's time you get another phone.
Plus, it's only 2 years old, man.
Which one is it?
The Pixel 4a.
My son just got a Motorola Edge.
How's he liking it?
Well, he's
that's the older one, man.
This is actually the 2022 model, so.
Oh, that's one of their lower end ones. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's not like I was gonna get him an expensive phone for
right.
You know, actual working phone. So, it's waiting on the case. So he's borrowing my Nord N200.
There you go.
So, the case should be here tomorrow, and I'll swap everything over. And it seems to work pretty well. I mean, I have zero complaints about it. I'm just putzing around with it to see what it does. It's got a nice right. screen. It's got a decent amount of RAM. It's got, 128 gig internal? So,
yeah, that's not bad.
To sneeze at.
And that's what, see, that's what some of the things I'm thinking about too for like my next different devices, you know? Like my iPad, I have the 256 gig version, but I rarely will download stuff to it. I mean, I will occasionally download stuff to it to watch within like you can do that with Netflix and a few other, and YouTube and a few other things, right? But I never use even half the storage on it. So it's like, why bother?
Yeah, well, you know, I wanted the extra storage on my Note 10 Plus, but then
right.
like my audiobooks I just get from my server. I just stream it. So there's not really any reason for me to have a massive amount of storage on the inside.
Right. It's like if I get a new iPad, I'm probably looking at maybe getting the 128 gig version. I have to double check.
Now, I still prefer something that you can put a micro SD card into, or
yeah,
just you know, for the extra storage in case I do need it. But
well, see, that's a nice thing. The iPad now, since they're all USB-C, I can plug an adapter in, just plug a thumb drive in, or I can plug in.
Yeah, but you don't want that hanging off.
No, I can store the video on there. Then when I want to watch it, I can copy it over. And then watch it. So, but I could still,
why
watch
not
it
just set up a server and stream it to yourself?
Well, that's what I do for the stuff that I have here, yeah. But that doesn't work when I'm away from the house.
Why wouldn't it work when you're away from the house?
Because I don't have it internet accessible, because I don't want the risk.
That's what, you know, VPN is for.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to piss off Spectrum because I depend on my internet too much.
How would you piss off Spectrum?
Not exactly allowed to run servers on our home networks. Accessible servers on our home network. I can run servers
that's
I want.
That's dumb. Why can't you run a server from your home network?
The odds are the amount I would actually use it
Spectrum
would be nothing.
Yeah, I've had Spectrum and I run servers.
Well, it's because you probably probably are skirting underneath the radar. If they actually caught you, you know. different story, but the odds of them actually catching you are probably slim. So
they're going to tell me that, you know, I pay for this bandwidth upwards. And
to be honest, though, I'll say to be honest, though, I don't really need it because I have more than enough to keep myself entertained.
I'm just saying that, you know, I pay for, you know, down bandwidth and I pay for an up bandwidth. So if I'm paying for an up bandwidth, they're going to tell me that I can't use it?
I'll have to actually look into that and see if that's true or not anymore. It might not be because I'm almost synchronous with the download and the upload the same.
Yeah, if you've got 500 down and 500 up, then what the hell would they care if you were running a server?
Yeah, true. Because you're talking about not even using half of it to do that.
Right. Probably not even a tenth of it.
Right. Well, yeah, because I wouldn't be doing it that often. But.
Well, even still, I mean, you can't be expecting to use like all 500 on one connection to a phone or a tablet.
Right. Anyway. Yeah, I have it. I have my MB server, but it's just a Pi, so yeah, it would probably be fine, but you know. Anywho. Yeah, I just generally don't need it. So, but still, even 128 gig, I would have more than enough to put a couple movies on it, you know, which the amount I'm away from a network is more than enough. Especially for this trip out to DC. The flight's an hour. I'm not going to have enough time to watch a movie. I might have enough time to listen to a podcast. Depends on which podcast I listen to.
And what speed you listen to it at.
That too, yes. I used to, like, some of them I did used to listen to at 2x. I can't do it anymore.
Just takes practice.
Yeah. Well, it also depends on who you're listening to.
Right, some especially hosts, when it comes to podcasts.
Yes, some hosts, like,
Strange accents, big words.
Yeah, or they'll talk really fast anyway.
Right, or audio quality.
That too.
Like,
yeah.
If they're not putting it out in a decent bit rate, then yeah, you'll have to slow things down.
To normal.
No, never 1x.
Nah, I'm fine. 1x I don't listen
won't
to that
happen.
Many. There's like two or three that I have daily.
We just got a severe thunderstorm warning. Thank God.
Ooh, there you go.
You know what that means, right?
That means your power's going out?
Oh, not mine. But that means that if there's enough rain, there will be a nice, lovely temperature drop.
That's what I was going to say. Now, tonight it's been skirting off to the north of Columbus. It's like, for example, it's raining in Springfield, Ohio, and Delaware, Ohio. Delaware's just to the north of I-270 in Ohio, and we're getting diddly squat right now. We're in a big old dry spot. But it is, see, it's 73 right now. Which is comfortable for this time of year. Gotta keep an eye out on the Atlantic there, Dan.
Yeah, I know. Hope no hurricanes come up this year. There hasn't been many yet this year.
Not in the Atlantic. The Pacific's been going good.
Yeah, we're heading into the big hurricane season.
The peak is next month.
I want it to flood. Let it flood.
What, at your place?
Well, if it floods at my place, I'm on a hill. If it actually floods, like, at my house, there's a real problem.
Yeah, there would be.
Yep.
But if it floods in the area, that's like an excuse to work from home for a week, and it'll be nice and cool.
Yep. Nothing in the Atlantic for the next 2 days. So that's good for you.
Oh, speaking of that, What is the weather tomorrow here? I was thinking about whipping out the old pizza oven and firing that motherfucker up tomorrow.
Which one do you have?
I have the Oni.
Okay.
Karoo 16-inch.
Sam's Club has one of their own brand, a Member's Mark brand. It's propane. I might have to look at that.
Now, what I will say is, the nice thing about propane is that it's going to heat up faster.
Right, but the wood is better probably for flavor.
But, well, from what I hear it's harder to get those ovens up. Like, if you want to do a true Neapolitan-style pizza, it's hard to get them up to 900 degrees. Like, what I have to do to get mine to 900 degrees is that I throw in a mixture of charcoal and wood. Because charcoal will get it up to about 700. And then the wood will push it over that extra 200 degrees. So once it gets up around 700, slap on a couple of more pieces of wood, and that'll kick it up over to 900 a half. So how much is the one there at Sam's Club?
That's a good question. Let me go look. I'll look in the app. It's easier to find.
Because I'll tell you what, I love this thing. I love it to death. It makes great pizza. It also it helps me learn how to make great pizza because I can easily burn that pizza. Now, what is not good, right? So I love my Kamado up there, and it works great. The only problem I have with it is that living in where I do with the salt water and the humidity,
corrosive.
It's very corrosive on that. So back in May, I don't know if I said anything about this, but back in May, I was like, all right, so it's got a fire bowl on the inside, and it's like a little insert. Not little. I mean, it's pretty freaking big.
And the insert rusted.
It goes between the base. You drop that down in there, and then the grate goes inside and sits on the bottom. Like it's got a fold-in lip on the inside that kind of holds the grate there. So it's just another layer that has been like that's almost on its last leg. It's like got rust, it's rusting out. Even though I was cleaning it and trying to do my best to keep it clean, the bottom base, it has a support bracket on the bottom of it where the actual ash collector in there at the bottom where it collects the ash, there's two clips on the side of the bottom base that you unhook those clips, and then the base slides out. That bottom ash slides out from the bottom base, which has like a little support under there to hold that. So it's got like three supports. You slide it in onto the base, and it hooks in, and it like kind of like slides in and clips in there, hooks in there, and then you have the two clips on the side. Well, that support rack in there, that bottom rusts out. That happened to my first one, and luckily it was under warranty to get it replaced. So I was like, back in May, I'm like, all right, I really need to get replacement parts for this thing. So I ordered a base and I ordered a fireball, and I am still waiting for the base to show up. It's been, and like I've emailed them twice and talked to their customer support, and they're like, back in June, they were like, at the end of June, they were like, apologize.
That's right. You talked about that before.
We apologize, blah blah blah. And so they said like their shipping is completely different than their ordering, and it's in a whole different state or whatever it is. I don't know what the state of confusion, I guess, but. Yeah, so I got the fire bowl. I got that back at towards mid to the end of July. And I'm still waiting on the base. So I emailed them the other day and they're like, oh, we're really sorry. We're having supply issues, you know, whatever. Yeah. I don't know what's going on. And they're like, we'd understand if you want to cancel your order, but it should ship in the next 14 to 21 days. So I'm going to see what happens. I mean, like, I really don't have a choice at this point. It's like, what am I going to do?
You got to wait, buy a new grill. That's the other option.
Yeah, now I'm still like I'm hobbling along. I still have all the old rusting parts, bad parts in there, and it still works great. But I don't want to put the new one in until I get all of it, because I'd rather just have it all together. And in addition to that, I need to get another top grate at this point because that one's rusting out too. That's getting to be.
So far, I've been pretty lucky with my Pit Boss. I'll scrape the sear plate and all that. You know, I don't take it in and scrub it clean because it's just dumb, you know. So it is starting to get like a little surface rust, but I don't think it's structural or anything, so I'm not worried about it. But I vacuum it out between like every third or fourth cook. I'll vacuum it out, and I barely clean the grates or anything. I don't really need to. But now that Member's Mark pizza oven, Member's Mark 12-inch portable gas pizza oven, $149.98, and you get it in black or red. They also, and this actually is interesting, sell, it's a lot more money, but the Thor Kitchen Standalone Wood-Burning Pizza Oven for $649. Yes, $649. I won't be getting that. But it makes me wonder how a fathead dough would cook up in that.
A what?
Fathead dough. I found a recipe called fathead dough. It's a keto pizza dough, and it's got 8 carbs per serving versus whatever a regular pizza crust is, which I don't know off the top of my head. Now, there's fat in it, 33 grams of fat, but it's made of you use 2.5 cups of shredded mozzarella, 2 ounces of cream cheese, 1 large egg, 1 cup of almond flour. You can use coconut if you don't like the almond flour. Half teaspoon of baking powder, and then that's it. You melt the cream cheeses together and mix those up, and then you combine all the rest of that in a. They say a food processor, but I generally use my KitchenAid, and that works just fine.
Yeah, I've seen the recipes for like egg and cheese bread before. I wanted to try them, but
the keto dough comes out really good, and actually, believe it or not, crisps up, which is what I like.
And you're adding the flour to get that the chewiness. Crispiness. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And it does taste good. So it's, you know, and I've also like the last time I did it, I put like maybe a half teaspoon or a teaspoon of garlic powder in it, maybe a little bit of Parmesan as well to get the flavor. That works too. Although the last time I don't think you really need to pre-bake it to get that crisp before you top it. And the last time, that's what I did. I didn't cook it long enough on the pre-bake side. But once you pre-bake it, it says you bake it at 400 for 12 to 15 minutes. And then you pull it out, put your toppings on, and then put it in for like another 10. Till the cheese is melted and your pepperoni cups up, because that's the kind I use. Hormel Cup and Crisp pepperoni is delicious. It's my favorite right now. But it at least lets me enjoy. I mean, I get regular pizza once a week anyway. But if I want to have like a pizza for lunch or something, this is what I do. Instead of pulling out the Bobolese. just to cut the carbs down. My problem is I can eat the whole thing.
What smoker do you have, Joel?
I have the Pit Boss 850 PS.
Who makes that? Oh, is that Pit Boss?
Pit Boss.
How do you like it?
It does a really good job. It doesn't. It's more. See, the Pit Boss really has two different kinds of cooking devices. That's what I'll call them, cooking devices. They have a grill. Like, this is a grill. Okay, so it's made primarily to grill meats and stuff on it, right? But then they also have their smokers. Okay. The grills tend to not put out as much smoke as the dedicated smokers will. So I've been debating whether I want to get one of the vertical smokers, because I do like to smoke meat and cheese. I've also made Chex Mix in it, in the Pit Boss, smoking. That gave it a really different kind of a flavor. I'm debating next time I make Chex Mix to use some of that mushroom ketchup in it, because it kind of tastes a lot like Worcestershire. In fact,
Just get some aioli.
Yeah. But I've smoked cream cheese in it, and that comes out really nice. Gives it a kind of a good flavor. I've got a turkey in the freezer. I should probably get it out and thaw out and spatchcock it and do it on the Pit Boss. That would be delicious. And I got some steaks in there. But one of my main problems is because it does require electricity to run, it's not exactly safe cooking on the grill if it's thunderstorming. Pretty much my only complaint about it.
What? Wait, what were you saying that you were complaining about it?
It's not really, well, I guess it's not good to cook on any grill when it's thunderstorming, but last few weeks we've had a lot of thunderstorms in the evening. Not exactly safe for me to go grill some steaks, if you know what I mean.
Right. Yeah, well.
Yeah. Yeah, Well, I don't know if mine's the 2 or the 1. I'm thinking it's 2 cuz I'm on their website and it looks exactly the same as what I have. Actually, one thing I need to do is I need to call them up. I didn't notice this until like over a year afterwards. But on the bottom deck, one of the bolts just isn't there. And never was. I didn't put it together, though. Lowe's put it together because it was already together. And that's... You didn't have to pay extra for it, so I figured, why the hell not? You know, just have them deliver it, and that way it's all together and all that. Didn't have to put it together, but... I might, if I were to do it again, I would probably just buy it in the box and put it together myself. It's not much to put together, to be honest, though. But it's not like I move it around, though. The most I might do is I might move it closer to the house in the winter. So I should call them up and get the bolt, though. Actually, if I got another Pit Boss, I'd probably get one. They have my dad has is this called the Lockwood?
You know what? I don't understand.
Tell me.
Is that Okay.
Lockhart.
I just wound up on the Better Business Bureau's website, and apparently there is complaint after complaint after complaint against this company about them not shipping shit out on time, and it's always the same response for Char Griller. It's the same response that they're having, they're experiencing delays in shipping, high order volume and experiencing delays in shipping. The weird thing is their website says all the items are in stock and you can order them, but they're not shipping for like 30 plus days. And they're like, I'm like, how do you fucking run a business,
right?
And not know what the hell is like your shipping department is doing? Like, how is there such a disconnect? Like, how, like, their constant response is, due to high order volume, our warehouse is experiencing delays in shipping. And I'm like, seriously?
So yeah, the Acorn?
I have the Komodo. Yeah, the Komodo, gosh, what do I have?
Their Acorn Komodo or Acorn Jr.?
No, just the Acorn Komodo.
Okay.
I mean, if it was a piece of shit and didn't work, I'd be like, fuck it, I'll just buy a new one. It lasted me like, what?
How long have you had it already?
Oh my goodness, I've had it for like at least four years, I think. And I love it.
Yeah, you should get another year out of it, at least.
Well, I got the Fireball replacement part, and I'm sure it's going to eventually ship, but I just wish it was sooner. I'd like to do a brisket I'm going to do a brisket, right, unless my grill falls completely apart, which I don't think it will.
So that's pellet, right?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
See, I've been using smokers and doing it the I don't want to say the hard way.
Okay.
I've been doing it like I've been doing it, you know. One of the nice things, I guess, about the pellet grills is you can pretty much set it and forget it, can't you?
For the most part, yeah. I mean, and you have the, like, it only comes with one, but you can plug in up to two different temperature probes.
Okay.
And a lot of people I know of, though, don't use those. They'll buy something else, like there's another wireless one that I forget which one, what they buy, you know. Or
does
they
it
might
work
use,
with the grill then, or is it just for you knowing what the temperature is?
The thing is I don't. I'll have to look. I do mine mostly manual, so I don't tell it, cook it until the meat is at this and shut off, you know. I don't tell it like that, you know, because that's just the wrong way to do meat.
What I'm kind of talking about is you set it to a temperature, right?
Yeah, but I said but that's usually for the grill's temp itself, not the temp of the meat.
But if you're if I'm smoking something, what I have to do is I gotta light the charcoal, and then I gotta watch it, and then I, you know, once I know that it's going, then I put I close it up, and I wait till it gets about 150 degrees, and then I start messing with air intakes.
I'm sorry, I gotta jump off.
I'll see you, Joe.
All right,
then I start messing with the air intake, so I gotta slowly, like, I gotta catch it like around 150, and start reducing the air so that it gradually comes up to about 230 to 250 on a lot of the times, and once I get it at that point, I gotta control the again, I have to manually control all that stuff to maintain that temperature. So usually about once I get it to that point, for about the first hour or two, it's fine. But then I gotta be careful because I'll have to go out and adjust the settings so that if the temperature starts to drop, I gotta let it come up a little bit and then, you know, and make sure it doesn't go too high or go too low. But with yours, don't you just set the temperature and it just maintains it?
Yes. Like,
yeah. So that's the big, that's what I was talking about. And yeah, and then I got a probe thermometer in there, and then I'm watching the temperature. And once I get it to that desired temperature, then it's done. You know, then I take it off.
I'm looking through. Yeah, I actually just downloaded the PDF. I'm looking through that manual, and I'm not seeing anything in there that tells me that I can set, I can have it cook the meat until it's a certain temperature, but like I said, I just don't do that anyway. I mean I can. The nice thing is it has an app for the grill itself, and if you have the probes plugged in, then you can check the temperature of the meat and you can know when it's done, you know. But like depending on, like, for example, say I'm doing burgers, which, you know, that's not really a smoke, but close enough. You know, but what I like to do with burgers is I'll set it for right around 250, and I may do it at that for about a half an hour, you know, which seems like a long time for burgers, but it really isn't because it's not getting very hot at 250. But then what I will do is I'll kick up at the end of that half hour, I'll kick up the grill temp to about 300 or 400 and sear the burgers. And then that gets the smoke flavor into the burgers. That's when I'm doing burgers, you know. And you know, and that's if I'm just doing them for just me, Misty, and Luke. You know, if I had a bunch of people here, I would just fire that up, put it on about 400 and go, you know, just for a grill. Cause they don't care unless I'm doing something specific, you know, like I might do a turkey or something that's a little different, you know? But like, for example, Tech Chex Mix, because it's a convection oven, it works really well for that. And then since you're cooking the Chex Mix at a lower temperature anyway, you get more smoke at the lower temperatures. So you get the flavor of the smoke inside the Chex Mix. So, and I've also done pizzas in there as well. It does work for that. Although, I think next time I do a pizza in there, I want to get a stone because I don't have a stone for it. Especially since if I want to do like the fathead dough in it, or even regular dough, because it would just seep through the grates. I need to do something on Sunday, probably. Depends on the weather. It's been raining a lot in the evenings lately, so it just kind of sucks. But I do have a lot of folks who have pit bosses use what's called a smoke tube. And really what that is, just really the only thing it really is a mesh tube that you fill it up with pellets, and then you light it with I've been lighting it with a creme brulee torch because that's what I have, but eventually I want to get a little propane torch like you might use for braising a pipe and use that to light it because it might be a lot hotter and a lot faster to light that tube and get it smoking. So if I'm grilling and I want to do something fast but I still want to have a smoke flavor, I'll light the smoke tube, and that usually works pretty well for steaks and stuff like that. I have done a pork roast on it, and it came out absolutely wonderful. Yeah. Oh, so good, man.
I think, you know what, I should probably do that next week. I did a turkey breast yesterday, yeah. And last week I did ribs.
Yeah. That's the only thing we don't do in our family, at least up here. My dad does ribs. My wife doesn't care for them. She's like, that's meat with obstacles.
Ay, ay, ay.
But I'm with you, though. I like ribs. I like to eat them. I want to do a piece of salmon on it, too. But again, I don't buy the salmon, because if you buy a big old piece of expensive salmon, if I'm the only one eating it, I can't eat it fast enough. I guess I could freeze it after I cook it.
We got to wrap this up, Joel.
Yes, we do.
I'm going to play us out. Everybody have a good week. Here are your promos. Say goodnight, Joel.
Night, Joel.
I am short.
Oh my God. It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello, my name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
Roof?
Oh, crap.
It died.
No, it didn't. I stopped it. Like an idiot.
Derp.
No, I didn't stop it. I was like, oh, I'm not using this machine. Good day, sir. I can stop it now. Here we go.
Yeah, with my tongue brush. So we can paint anything.
There we go.
So we can paint anything we want.
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush.
Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun.
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
I don't know what I was thinking. Like, I'm like, I can start closing some of these machines down, and it's fine.
Oops.
Like an idiot. Anyway. All right. Stop these recordings.
A few weeks ago, I had a shrimp po' boy from the Cajun restaurant here.
Oh, yeah? Mm.
Yeah, it had so much shrimp on it, I basically couldn't pick it up and eat it like a sandwich. Oh. Not that that's a problem. That was perfectly fine by me. So I forked off as much shrimp as I could eat, and then basically all of the shrimp I ate with a fork, and then I just picked up the roll and ate it. With the peppers and the tomatoes and stuff that were on it. It's like, that was good shit, man. They have good, but I don't go there often because that po' boy itself is $20.
No, there you go.
It's expensive. That restaurant's expensive, but damn, it's worth every penny. It really is.
Really low price, and or your local
play it again sports, like
Goodwill.
Yep. Yeah.
Just something that I can do while I'm sitting there reading shit on the or writing my presentation I'm doing in September.
Next thing you know, Joel will be getting a squat stand.
Nah.
A weight bench.
Yeah, that's how he does. That's how he'll do his work. He has to squat down to type on the keyboard and squat back up. Squat down to type on the keyboard.
You know I have a sit-stand desk that I hardly ever stand at.
He'll just create some automation and just, you know, make it so that it goes up and down with him. And he'll just spam squats all day long. Next time you see him, he's got thighs like, you know, a titan.
Already kind of do have large thighs.
Well, yeah.
Covered in a layer of fat. Just because big dude, I got big
legs. Yeah, think about
legs.
It. I mean, big guys got to move around big weight all the time, so they're going to have big legs.
I do. My calves are sick. That's the one thing, whenever I do weights, I never work my calves because I don't really need to.
Yeah.
Although I will say it is fun, like kind of like take my feet and like put the front half of the feet on a step and then just, you know, bounce up and down on the back of the feet works them calves real good.
Yeah.
And I like how it feels when it stretches that out, but and sometimes I have to do that.
The only real way to work the calves is some kind of calf raise.
Right. And I'll do that like every once in a while, and I think I figured out what's going on, and it's helped. I will get these super knots in my calf, believe it or not, and they're so bad you can actually see the knot underneath the skin, and it hurt. So I started taking a potassium supplement, and that seems to help.
Sounds like the thing to do. That's what I would do.
Yep, it definitely helps, and I haven't had.
I'd probably do potassium, magnesium, and zinc. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have that. Like, I have all the other stuff in my normal multi.
So I gotta pick up some zinc.
Yeah. I must be a 6-year-old and a 50-year-old body because all my vitamins, with the exception of the potassium, are gummy.
Hey, if it works, it works.
I used to take turmeric. I decided not to anymore. It's not that I didn't like it. I just didn't feel like it was doing anything for me.
Yeah.
It tasted good. They tasted like orange gumdrops.
Mostly vitamins don't do a lot unless you're deficient.
So. Right.
I take a bunch.
Vitamin D.
Yeah, I have to take vitamin D.
Yeah, I do too because I'm a nerd. I don't go outside as much.
Even when I go outside, I don't properly absorb enough vitamin D, so I take a ton of vitamin D. I think I also got to start like B6 or B12.
The dosage on my gummies is 2 gummies, but I take 4.
Piss it all out, right?
For which one was that, Joel?
Vitamin D.
Yeah, no. Vitamin D is one of those odd things where, yeah, it's really easy to not take enough, but even if you take too much, there's very little that's going to happen to you unless you're, like, taking way too much. So
yeah, I only take 4 every day.
Like,
so.
they make 10,000 IU pills.
Yeah. I also take, I forget the name of it, but it's also gummy, a fiber supplement.
Yeah, my problem with the solid fiber supplements is that they're usually non-water soluble, so they don't do as much for cholesterol and hunger cues. So if I do a fiber supplement, when I do fiber supplements, it's going to be in the powder form.
Right.
And I'm going to make sure that it's a water soluble one. And I do have like the Metamucil one, but it's orange flavored, so it doesn't go as much other than like water.
Orange.
So yeah. Well, it sometimes goes well in like a protein ice cream or something, so you can put it in that. But you know, not much on the citrusy side of things. So I'm going to order some that's flavorless and then see if I can add it to like my oatmeal.
Mm-hmm. Our oatmeal itself has plenty of fiber too.
It does, and I usually get it. Right now I'm getting at least one bowl of oatmeal a day.
Mm-hmm. I've been eating a lot of rarely the ones at Starbucks, but egg bites.
Yeah.
I found Sam's Club carries 3 Bridges, and they'll change what it is every once in a while. Like, for a long time they had, I don't even remember what the one they used to have was, but then they switched it up so it's the ham and Gruyere, which is pretty tasty. And I get like a 4-pack.
I do sometimes make my own, like, egg bites.
I have too, yeah.
Or just like, take like, a tortilla and put it in a silicone tray and fill it up with like eggs and egg white and peppers and onions.
I need to get some of those trays.
And ham.
I just have I just had the normal cupcake things, and I've made them in there, and it works, but...
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's for the small size. I'm talking like a bowl-sized.
Right.
So instead of eating five of them, I'm just eating the one.
Oh. Yeah, I got to start planning some of the stuff I'm taking on my trip. Well, I mean, I've got most of the stuff, but there are things that, like, every time I travel, I take notes on what worked, what didn't work.
Yeah, I know that you like to, you know, order food and stuff because, you know, you like to be lazy at the end of the day, don't we all?
Yes.
But, no, for me, the thing that really helped with that was meal prep.
Yeah.
Like, especially at the office, because it's so easy just to order something or go over to the machines and get something or go down to the cafe and get something.
I rarely order lunch. I rarely do that. Dinner, I do.
Right. But, you know, I usually don't prep out dinner because I do have time to cook and, you know, I enjoy cooking or putting together a meal.
I do, too, but there's those days like today.
Right.
Which I was just like, fuck it.
And for those days, I have stuff that's in the freezer and ready to go. Like,
yep.
I have the serving sizes all split out for my burrito stuff. I have the serving sizes all split out for my single serve spaghetti. I have single servings of chicken breast, barbecue chicken breast, ready to go.
Yeah, we're gonna have tacos. Barbecue. We're gonna have tacos tomorrow, and Friday it's almost all we almost always grab something because usually we're doing the Sam's Club run on Fridays because it's less busy on Friday for whatever reason than it is on Saturday.
You know, I've looked at Sam's Club and there isn't a whole lot there that is priced well enough for me to want to go there consistently. Even buying in bulk.
The biggest things that we save on is laundry, dishwashing.
Well, we have an HEB coming in, so I want to check them
out. Oh, yeah. I've heard good things about HEB. Actually, when I go to Reston, guess what's like right next to the corporate headquarters there, Dan?
Oh, you tell me?
Wegmans.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Yeah.
Wegmans. I'll be sure to hit up Wegmans because I love Wegmans.
Yeah. I wish Wegmans was closer to me, but it is what it is.
Well, the only thing is this being like to the corporate headquarters, when we go do dinners, it's probably likely going to be paid for either my manager directly or her manager or the director over the whole of Action Line, because we're all going to be there. So my expense report will be fairly easy, you know, except for when I'll have travel. But
I need to convince my bosses that I need a corporate card and I need to do lunch for my team once a week.
There you go. Have pizza day.
Screw that. We'll go to the Cajun place.
Or that.
Or one of the barbecue places. Take your pick. Point of direction. There's a barbecue place that way. We'll go.
See, there's a really good Cajun place back by where I used to live in the old Long John Silver's. But they're expensive
they serve
as
Gator?
Hell. No, but they do have crawfish. Crawfish etouffee.
Oh, no. Like, the Razoo's here has Gator, and it is delicious. Gator nuggets. Nothing like
it. I bet you it is. All right, I think we got everyone here.
Want to start that show? Start that show?
Yes, sir.
Why the hell is Murph in the audio test? What does he think he's doing?
Making sure his microphone works?
Watch, he's going to go to the listening booth again, and then we're going to have to yell at him and drag him in here.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Let me fire this. 1,004 tape.